This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Tuesday, a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. And man, oh man, we have a ton to talk about tonight. It's just you and me and a bunch of news. I have predictions. I have things that really have Democrats up against the wall. We're going to open talking about something that maybe has us up against the wall. There's more fraud. The Democrat Party is held up by it. We have a sailor going to prison for 16 years, ratting us out to China. All that, emails. I have BK coming up next hour to kind of break down a little bit of what is Iran's capabilities, that Venezuelan op. Did we really have them bleeding from the eyes from a sonic weapon? All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, something is happening inside the Trump White House that is obvious by now. Donald Trump, I won't say he's yelling necessarily. I don't know. I'm not sitting there beside him. But Donald Trump is telling Kash Patel people at the FBI need to be fired, a lot more of them. There hasn't been that many fired or even resignations. 35,000 FBI employees. We have less than 1,000 firings, resignations. But people have to go. There are rumors that Donald Trump is displeased with Pam Bondi. It's being reported in the Wall Street Journal. Before you roll your eyes, let's keep in mind that just, I think it was last week, Donald Trump put out on social media, Pam, people are getting frustrated. What's the holdup? Where are the arrest? Okay. All right. So I thought it would be helpful, although it may be a little nerve-wracking. Just stay with me. We're going to go through this together. I thought it would be helpful maybe to do just a little brief history, if you will, because I believe we are right now, you and me, anti-communists like us, I believe we are in a very similar situation to the situation Julius Caesar was in Rome. Now, I know everybody knows who Julius Caesar was. I'm not going to insult your intelligence, but for our purposes, we're going to go to the point in his life where Julius Caesar was a proconsul in Gaul. What does any of that mean? What's Gaul? What's a proconsul? All right. Julius Caesar had marched an army into Gaul. That's France. It was Gaul back then. There were tribal peoples, the Gauls. There were all kinds of different tribes, but we'll just call them the Gauls for now. Julius Caesar conquered those people. All kinds of brilliant commands and diplomatic maneuvers. And it was brilliant because he's Julius Caesar and he was brilliant. And the Senate back in Rome, the elites back in Rome, did not like it for a variety of reasons. They said it was an illegal war. He shouldn't be allowed to do it. They didn't like the fact that Julius Caesar was amassing for himself not only a wonderful reputation with the Roman people. Remember, all people love military victories, all of them. I do, you do. As much as you were cheering when we snatched up Venezuela last week, that's how much Romans were cheering every time Julius Caesar wiped out another 200,000-person Gallic army. They loved it. The Senate did not like it, though, at all. And the Senate determined it was illegal. But Rome had laws. And one of those things, for the point of our story here, One of those things about Roman law was while you were in power, while you were in office, I should say, while you were in office, you could not be prosecuted for crimes you committed while you were in office. But the Romans had term limits, you see, and you're not going to be in office forever. We may not be able to put proconsul Julius Caesar on trial now that he's proconsul, but tick-tock, when your term is up, pal, you're going down to Chinatown. And they weren't exactly making a secret of it. They made it known. Julius Caesar, Mr. Caesar, you are in very serious trouble when your time as proconsul is up. And that, and you could side with him or not, that forced Julius Caesar into making a choice. You see, he's currently proconsul. He has a fantastic army at his disposal. They love him because he was a wonderful commander. He cared about his men. He was absurdly brave himself. He was just a natural-born leader. Plus, he'd won them all these battles. You know, that makes you a lot more popular with the troops when you never lose. He had an army. He had power. When he gives up that army and gives up that power, he knows he's going to rot in a Roman dungeon at best. So he had to make a choice. And his choice was, I can use this army and power I have now against my political enemies, or I can follow the law. I can give up this army and give up this power when my term limit is up, and down to the Roman dungeon I will go. Julius Caesar, famously, you probably already know the story, decided, nah, dungeon life isn't for me. I'm going to go to war instead. And he marched his army across a river known as the Rubicon. If you've ever heard somebody say, we've crossed the Rubicon, that comes from what Julius Caesar did. You see, marching his army across the Rubicon officially put him in Roman territory, and that made him illegal. Once Julius Caesar and his army crossed the Rubicon, that was the point of no return. Then it was win or die. All these terrible battles came after, and Julius Caesar, again, because he's Julius Caesar, he won all of them and ended up ruling Rome till he got stabbed to death on the Senate floor, but that's a story for another day. Right now, we have a situation that we should acknowledge and understand. The deep state is something that has been discussed many times by you, by me, by Trump, by anybody on the right. The deep state is what? It's the massive federal leviathan packed full of committed communists who use their government power day and night against us. And some of these people, of course, have names. You ever heard of Timothy Tebow? No, not the University of Florida quarterback everybody knows and loves. His name is spelled different anyway. This is former FBI agent Timothy Tebow. He was the one, he was going to, as an FBI agent, of course, he was going to tackle all that cheating Democrats did in the 2020 election. Here's Tim Tebow.
The FBI is charged with protecting the rights of all Americans, including their right to vote. While the responsibility to ensure a fair election process lies primarily at the state and local level, the FBI takes allegations of election-related violations of federal law seriously. The FBI investigates federal election crimes that generally fall into three categories: campaign finance crimes, voter ballot fraud, and civil rights violations. The FBI Washington Field Office works with our state and federal partners to engage with other law enforcement partners and provide resources about the FBI's role in elections.
And after all that, they just couldn't find anything. Of course, now we find more and more things. But back then, with Tim Tebow running things, they couldn't find anything. Remember the Hunter Biden laptop? FBI had it. They knew that Joe Biden, running for president at the time, they knew his son was a multi-time felon because they had the laptop proof of it, and yet the FBI buried it. Well, guess who was allegedly one of the people who buried it so Joe Biden could win the election? Oh, I'm glad you guessed it. His name's Tim Tebow. You know that Arctic Frost investigation? Jack Smith, the FBI, digging into that dastardly Donald Trump? You know that the FBI used NPR and Washington Post reporting as justification to start that investigation? Do you know who the agent was who started that investigation? Tim Tebow. Oh, he's resigned by now, but the deep state is there. We'll continue on this in just a moment. We're going to talk about the stakes. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful, fantastic Tuesday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Back to what we were discussing, the stakes. Right now, anti-communists have some amount of government power. We have the presidency. We kind of have the House. We kind of have the Senate. We allegedly are in control of the Justice Department, but you understand what I'm saying. We have a little bit of power now. We also have to understand the communists are waiting to get back into power. They're not even being very coy about what they will do when they get back into power.
I know Republicans these days aren't big in thinking about principle or precedent. They're going to be deeply sorry that that disappears, because someday there will be a Democratic president and there'll be investigations of Republican office holders.
That's former FBI Director James Comey. They've come out and said it several times. We are at a place that is ugly, it's horrible, I hate it, I'm not cheering for it, I'm sure you aren't either. But we are at a place where we have to make a decision whether we are going to cross that Rubicon or throw handcuffs on ourselves and go down into the Roman dungeon. So why haven't we had thousands of employees let go from the FBI? Quote, cash better get them out now. Trump orders cleanup of corrupt FBI scum. That's from Breitbart. Cash better get them out now. Cash better get them out now. Because they're waiting. They already have, remember, files on you, me. They're waiting. Bill Clinton today. He declined to testify in the congressional Epstein probe. Of course, James Comer, who was running the whole thing, came out and said,
as a result of Bill Clinton not showing up for his lawful subpoena, which again was voted on unanimously by the committee in a bipartisan manner, we will move next week in the House Oversight Committee markup to hold former President Clinton in contempt of Congress.
Okay, sounds good. You're going to throw him in prison? Because Steve Bannon went to prison for that. We talked last week, was it last week, when we did the Maduro raid? Yeah, it was last week. We did the Maduro raid. Remember, we went in, we snatched up the president of Venezuela and his wife, and we did this awesome military invasion of Venezuela where we didn't lose a man and we wiped them out and everything. It was cool. And we talked last week about the importance of sending a message, that that little raid we did in Venezuela, it was learned about, talked about in the halls of power in China and Russia and Colombia and Cuba, in every single enemy's house we have on the planet. They may not have broadcast it on the news. They huddled together and they discussed, oh my gosh, can you believe what America did? Because sending a message is important. What kind of a message are we going to send when it's time to send former President of the United States of America, Bill Clinton, to prison for a few months for contempt of Congress? Now, it can be easy to get intimidated in that moment. That's too far. We can't do it. But we can't. It can be easy to say that. What kind of a message do you think it sends to the communists when they can imprison our people and we won't imprison theirs? Remember when Attorney General Pam Bondi went on the news talking about James Comey and said this?
People have to be held accountable. No one, Sean, is above the law. No one is above the law. And you will be held accountable. And, you know, a very liberal grand jury in one of the most liberal jurisdictions in the country just indicted James Comey. Now, we know, of course, we have to go to trial. We'll have a great trial team. And everyone, of course, is innocent until proven guilty. However, we are going to trial in this case, and this is just the beginning.
Yeah, and we know now that all that stuff has been dropped, at least for now. We don't know whether or not it'll be picked up again. But as of now, James Comey is not sitting around awaiting his trial date. What kind of a message does that send to the communists? This isn't as much for you as it is the people sitting in the halls of power in Washington, D.C. right now, in case they're not aware of the stakes of the game. They are going to throw all of us in prison or kill us when they take power again. And if you think that's over the top, I would kindly invite you to open up a single freaking history book and read about what communists do when they take power to their political opponents. The last time they took power, they bragged about throwing 1,000 January 6ers in prison, and when you and I screamed about it, they went to the news and said, we can't wait to hunt down 1,000 more. They sent the FBI into Donald Trump's home to rifle through his underwear drawer. His mugshot is still available for everyone to look at on the internet. He was going to have, he was going to do the election in Georgia State Prison if Fannie Willis didn't have an affair with the prosecutor she appointed to lead the entire thing. And that's what they did last time. We are sitting in Gaul. We have an army, such as it is. It may be led by Pam Bondi and Cash Patel, but we have an army. We have to make a decision, and there are no good choices. We can either choose to put the pedal to the metal now and hurt communists so they can't hurt us as badly next time, or we are in very, very serious trouble when they come back to power. I know what my vote is. Just a little message for DC. Anyway, I have an ugly prediction on top of all the other ugly stuff, and then we'll move on and talk about the problem Democrats have right now. My ugly prediction. Next.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, a magnificent Tuesday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Now, I want to touch on something Trump is talking about or has been talking about, the Insurrection Act. And I wanted to bring something up to you. In fact, it could lead to an ugly place. Let's set all this up, shall we? First, Democrats have already talked. Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota has already talked about deploying the National Guard, using the police in Minnesota. No, not to snatch up criminals, not to help ICE deport these monsters who are here, but to essentially stand against the federal government and its immigration enforcement actions. It's just been talk, kind of a subtle comment here and a subtle comment there, but he has said it. All right, so let's set that up. Democrats are already talking about it. All right, we got that. Now, let's set up something else. Something that I actually have evidence of, I'll get to in a few, but something you already know, something we've discussed before. Democrat politicians at every level are completely hostage now to their violent, demonic base. Completely hostage. I guarantee you something. There is a Democrat at the local, state, or federal level in this country who is a sane person. Did you know that? There's a Democrat who believes you should deport illegals. There's a Democrat who believes that you can't become a woman by chopping your penis off. There's a Democrat in this country who believes that using law enforcement to arrest your political opponents is bad for the country. But you don't know who that Democrat is, and I don't know who that Democrat is. Why? Because they are completely held hostage by their violent, demonic base who has been driven to insanity by the media and by Democrat politicians themselves, and now they're rabid animals. So that's two things we know. We know Democrat politicians have already threatened National Guard. We know that Democrat politicians are completely held hostage by their base. One more data point on that. Remember, we talk about it all the time. What's the number one most important issue for Democrats in the country? They're polled all the time. There's multiple polls that show it. What is it? You know, stopping Donald Trump. For the average Democrat. Oh, you have something, Chris? Yeah, go ahead, play it.
Democrats in Congress oppose Trump too often. Just 4%. How about the right amount? Just 19%. How about not enough? You don't have to be a mathematical genius to know that this is the largest number on your screen. 77% of Democratic voters say that their party in Congress does not oppose Donald Trump nearly enough. They want them to fight Trump more. When you get 77%.
The Democrat voter does not care about taxes, spending, illegals, foreign policy, inflation, any of those other things. They are at this point in time rabid animals, and all they care about is destroying Donald Trump. Democrat politicians read those poll numbers. You know that. So we know that. Now, here's something else we know. Donald Trump has spoken recently about something known as the Insurrection Act. Keep in mind, the Insurrection Act has been invoked a million times in this country by U.S. presidents. If Donald Trump ever does invoke the Insurrection Act, it'll be treated as something that's never been done before by the American media, but it's been done a million times. But what is it? I won't break down all of it because it's kind of nerdy and detailed, but for our purposes, what you need to know is the Insurrection Act is the use of the American military against American citizens. Why? Because you have a jurisdiction in the United States of America that is essentially in rebellion, open rebellion against the government. You've got LA rebelling against California or Minnesota rebelling against the federal government. That kind of a thing would prompt the use of the Insurrection Act. Now, for a prediction that I pray to God does not come true. I don't think it's unreasonable to see the future and see American troops squaring off against either cops or National Guard troops of a blue state. That's never happened before. Oh, yes, it definitely has. Remember that famous story, George Wallace, Governor George Wallace, standing in the schoolhouse door. That was Insurrection Act time, where he had his National Guard squaring off against American troops, and by the grace of God, backed down before troops started killing each other. And I'm not saying any troops are going to start killing each other. Please don't think that's what I'm saying. But I think it's going to happen. I think they're going to square off against each other. Now, I'll back that up by using two different things. First, if you tell me that's crazy, it would never happen, I would ask you this. If you're a Democrat politician, you're Gavin Newsom, you're J.B. Pritzker, you're Tim Walz, you're whoever, pick your politician. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you use your National Guard to stop the deportation of foreigners? Well, what's wrong? Well, they don't care about that. Well, troops might die. Oh, my gosh. Be serious. They don't care about that. They care about getting elected, destroying the country, staying in power. What stops any one of these soulless politicians from doing it? That's one. Two, the second thing I'll use to back up my prediction is this. How important is the mass importation of foreigners to the Democrat Party in this country? We discuss it all the time, you and me. It's everything. Everything. They have all kinds of issues that have become side issues for the Democrat Party, where they know they have to pretend to care about them. Every now and then they'll act like they care about them, but they're not that important. The tranny stuff, the gay stuff, the feminist stuff, the black civil rights stuff, the climate change stuff. They know they have to pay lip service to those issues whenever they pop up. And if there's ever an opportunity to jump on one of those issues and pretend like you care, they're willing to do it. But have you in recent years, certainly over the last year, have you ever seen Democrats fight as hard as they're fighting for the foreigners who are in this country? Why do you think that is? Because the foreigners are everything to them now. They don't give a crap about feminists. They're happy that feminists are so stupid they'll keep voting Democrats, but they don't care. They don't care about the LGBTQ demon mob. They're happy those people are going to keep voting Democrat when they're not twerking in front of kids, but they don't actually care about them. They don't care about black people. They don't care about climate change. They don't even believe in any of that stuff. And it's simply because they've found a more reliable power base than all those different groups. The most reliable power base in the world is the 20 million foreigners Joe Biden brought in 4 years. That, in the minds of a Democrat, secured elections for them forever. Those foreigners are now their everything. So, do you believe a Democrat governor would be willing to put police officers, National Guard troops, standing in a line against the American military in order to protect those foreigners? I think they would. And in fact, I think they will. That's my prediction. Now, that's it for the ugly stuff for us. I have some ugly stuff for Democrats, and I'm not just talking about their faces. Let's talk about peer talk first, though. Did you know that you can get a cell plan for $20 a month? Ah, but I'm sure that I don't get anything. That's unlimited talk, unlimited text, 3 gigs of high-speed data, $20 a month. You freaking out over those Christmas credit card bills that have come pouring in? You ready to save a bunch of money this year? Why don't you switch to the cell phone company that doesn't hate your freaking guts? Pick up your phone. Dial #250, and here's what you say. Save now. #250, save now. What does that do? Saves you an additional 50% off your first month. You don't need Verizon. You don't need AT&T. You don't need T-Mobile. Switch to Pure Talk. Save money. Patronize the patriotic cell phone company. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. Don't forget, we have BK. We're of the famous World News with BK coming up halfway through next hour. Also, don't forget this. You can email the show. Your love, your hate, your death threats, all that can be emailed into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Before I get into why Democrats are in a bit of a bind, it's going to kind of piggyback off of what we were just talking about. So I've got a thing, And I think I had a great idea. And Ob does not think I had a great idea. So hear me out. We have a gala coming up. Or is it called gala? I don't know. Whatever. A gala. You know exactly what it is. I don't remember the last time I attended a gala of any kind. I know you're going to be shocked by this, but that's really not my thing. Getting dressed up in a tuxedo and dancing like it's Beauty and the Beast and all that stuff and eating crappy food and drinking champagne. This is not who I am at all. I would just give me a pizza. I'm a happy guy. Nevertheless, it's for a good cause, so we have to attend a gala. It's a fundraiser type thing for a good cause. Not my idea. I was signed up against my will. All right. I just found out, and I mean, during the commercial break, I just found out that I have to wear a mask. No, not a COVID mask or something like that, because then I just wouldn't go. Yeah, Chris, one of the ones like you see in the Count of Monte Cristo or something like that, one of these things where you have to wear a mask. Okay. I don't want to wear a mask. It's going to be hot. I remember, what, Chris, what? I know Chris said why I'm a giant. Chris, I don't know. If I organize these things, it would be totally different, but I'm not organizing it. And just like Aubrey tells me all the time, you're not in charge of everything. So I'm not running the thing, okay? I'm not running the thing. Apparently, we have to wear masks. So I made a suggestion that didn't land all that well with Aub. Why don't I wear a mask with my face on it? What, Chris? Is that not a great idea? I think it's a great idea. I don't want to wear a mask. I want everyone at that gala to have the honor of seeing my face. I think this is a great idea. Ob is trying to claim that it's low class and that it's stupid. Why are you agreeing with her? It is not low class. But you still think I should do it though. See, Jewish producer Chris is with me. I want to wear a mask with my own face on it. And I'm sure in the age of the internet, that's something that's probably a click away. That can't be very difficult to find. I think this is a magnificent idea. And why are you rubbing your head, Chris? I don't understand why there's pushback at all. She doesn't want me to do fun stuff like this. And inevitably it comes out to, this is going to embarrass us and things like that. I'm not embarrassed. I don't think we have to use us. You may be embarrassed, but I don't think she's fully digesting how hilarious that would be yet. I'm doing it, Chris. I'm doing it. And if she doesn't like it, then we cancel. I can't possibly lose. Either I get to wear the mask with my face on it, or I'm not going. I like where this is going. In fact, I just decided that's what we're doing. Let's do some emails, shall we? Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, there's an elephant in the room. There is. And her name is Jasmine Crockett. I have to get this off my chest. I'm upset about this. I know you don't like Jasmine Crockett.
People be sexting.
And I don't like Jasmine Crockett either. However, if we are stuck with these brain-dead young women in Congress, it would be nice if we at least, if we had hot ones, right? And I know we've got a couple dimes in there. Jasmine Crockett has the potential to be one of those dimes. But she got super fat since she got to Congress. What, Chris? Chris said, are we sure she wasn't always fat? Well, I don't know. I haven't analyzed all of everything else. I'm sure there was a time in her life when she was not fat. I mean, granted, maybe she was 10, but at some point in time, she got fat. I think she got to Washington, D.C., and she got lazy, and she stopped caring about the gym, and she stopped caring about nutrition, and she got fat, and it upsets me because I actually don't even have a good reason why, because it just upsets me. And now she's running for Senate in Texas. I guess here's my concern. She's running for Senate in Texas. I know you're probably not in Texas, or maybe you are, but I, because I live in Texas, am going to have to see her stupid face on the television for the next couple years because she's going to probably be the Democrat nominee for Senate in Texas. She has some well-established Democrat she's going against, but he's a black woman, and you know how Democrat, or she's a black woman, and you know how Democrats are. The white dude's never going to be able to criticize her because you know she's going to play the race card in about a millisecond. She's going to be playing the race card. I can't believe he said that to me. How could you do that? I'm practically a slave now. You know you're going to get the thing in your ear. Anyway, if I have to be bludgeoned over the head with Jasmine Crockett's stupid face and stupid voice for the next year until they have this election, I think she needs to cut weight. And it's better for her health. Here's what I'm going to do, Chris. I'm going to send her, well, you should send her an email and let her know about intermittent fasting. Listen, just fast on Mondays. What? I don't think she's a fan of the show, Chris. In fact, if I had to guess, I've already heard rumors that she's not happy with how she is portrayed on this show. I think we've been nice. Sorry for trying to help you get healthy. Sorry for caring about your diabetes. Anyway, intermittent fasting, Jasmine, if you're listening now. We still have an hour. Wait, we still have 2 hours. I'll talk about why Democrats are in a bit of a pickle next.